You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to a fabulous day of racing, of course, culminating in day one at the Punchestown Festival. The final big jumps festival of the season is going to be very much the feature. You'll be able to hear that alongside all the domestic action as well live on Racing Radio. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. Sam Norris here, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Andy Gibson. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Sam. How are you doing?
Good, yes. Not too bad at all. In a bit of a transitionary period at the moment, although well, I suppose the flat season is well underway. I guess this is heading toward a quiet time of the year for you after Punchestown.
Well, I'll cover Punchestown from our website up until Saturday, and then it'll take me another 3 or 4 days to prepare all the reviews of all the races for my clients. And then I'm off to, I think, is it next Wednesday, the 8th, I'm going off to Portugal for a couple of weeks.
All right, nice.
And then a holiday a month through until next winter. Okay. Get my head down again.
Yeah. Good stuff. We're going to start Tuesday's edition of the podcast, as we always do, with a look through the Racing Post Monday jury. And we start this week's edition with the question regarding Altior, who, of course, is finally going to step up in Trip, it would seem. The King George has been nominated as his main target, of course, for next season. Lots of people have wanted Altior to go up in Trip for a good while, Andy. Do you concur with those that think he could be even better over three?
That would be some ask, I think, to be even better over three. I mean, you know, when a horse, you know, when you look at it logically and you think, well, how many horses have we seen in the last 20 years that are 18 from 18? How many horses have we seen that have never looked like getting beaten? I don't know what the answer to that is, but probably five, three, four?
Very, very few, wouldn't it?
So yeah. What are the chances of him then being even better? Probably not very big in terms of, if you look at it, you take an overview of it rather than you just focus on Altior. You know, the chances are not great. I think the interesting point is not whether he'll be better over 3 miles. Is, you know, from my point of view as a full-time gambler, is more to do with will his price reflect the possibility that he won't stay? Because everybody's been so mad on him stepping up in Trip that I think the probability is that the price will go the other way. Mm. And so, providing nothing goes wrong in his prep run, and I'd be surprised if they went Tingle Creek and King George. I know they were talking about that.
Yes.
I mean, the obvious one would be the Amlin at the end of November. But you could also understand them not wanting to take the Paul Nicholls horse on...
Surname,
thank you very much. You can understand them not wanting to take Surname on in the only circumstances that he's looked like he might be very, very good. I still think the jury's out on Surname, personally. I mean, he won a handicap over that course and distance, 2.5 miles, Ascot. Then he won the Betfair Ascot Chase. But, you know, on that day, I think Nicholls had 8 winners that day. It's still very possible that the Nicholls horse has held a massive advantage because of all of the problems with, you know, the equine flea scare and flea jabs. So I think the jury's out. Well, certainly my jury's out for that one, Surname. But if they're going to beat Altior, you could understand the Nicholls camp praying that Altior is going to go for that race. And you could imagine Surname jumping close to the rail all the way around. If Altior repeats his tendency last time out at Sandown and the previous time at Ascot, if he repeats his tendency of jumping left at his fences, even when he's held up off a fast pace, which is debatable because it might just be the fact that he was front running. But if he did repeat that, then that would make life very difficult for him against Surname in Surname's ideal conditions. Mm. And you can bet your life that Nicholls would have Surname 100% right for that day. So I think there's questions to be answered. And the main one will be that if Altior wins in style round Ascot and beats Surname comfortably, there still remains the possibility that Surname was massively flattered by this season and that actually he hasn't done that much in beating him. But the market won't reflect that in,
yeah, you're
in
right.
George. So the market will definitely be saying, you know, 8 to 11 Altior to be a fantastic field of stayers. It'll be interesting.
Certainly will. Very interesting thoughts from that perspective, obviously, on Altior going up in trip. Question two this week is, what chance do you give Richard Johnson of breaking Sir Anthony McCoy's record haul of winners? He doesn't seem to be showing any signs of wanting to slow down, Richard Johnson. And he's going to have to keep going.
Do you know where we're up to now? I must say, I don't hold a great interest in things like this. I mean, I'm sure it's very interesting for Richard Johnson, Anthony McCoy, but I don't bet on it, and maybe it's to my shame, but I don't tend to sort of look at it very often. So
yeah.
Do you know where they're up to?
Sir Anthony had 4,000 and something when he retired. Richard Johnson hasn't made the 4,000 mark yet, so I think he's...
So he's going to need two or three more seasons at least.
Yeah, of 100 plus winners a year.
Well, it's just about staying injury free.
Yes,
of
course.
And obviously, I really hope that happens. I hope he stays injury free. He seems like a thoroughly decent human being, apart from being a wonderful jockey. And it would be great for him if he did it, but it's not something that I sort of spend any time thinking about, if I'm honest.
I'm sure you'll have spent a bit more time thinking about the Punchestown Gold Cup this week. That looks a cracking renewal of that race. Album photo, of course, the Cheltenham Gold Cup runner lines up in this one, takes on Kenboy, who came down at Cheltenham but was very impressive at Aintree. This race as well has produced some thrilling finishes over the last few years. We had a couple of years ago sizing John, Coney Green, Jack Adam in a line coming over the final flight. That was a really pulsating renewal. And it looks a high-quality renewal this year as well. Album Photo, obviously the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, in many people's mind, will be the one to beat. But I was impressed with Kenboy at Aintree, and we never know how well he would have gone at Cheltenham. He came down at a very early stage.
Mm. Yeah, and I think... let's get the negatives out of the way first of all. The negative with Kenboy is clearly that at the moment he's one-dimensional, in that he won at Leopardstown over, was it at the Dublin Festival or the one before, over Christmas? Whichever one it
yes.
was, he won over 3 miles at Leopardstown, leading all the way. He took it up halfway, he was pulling very hard, had the run of the race to suit, never saw another rival. His previous jumping frailties never came to the fore when he just simply wasn't challenged and he won easily. Unfortunately, in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, I mean, he more stumbled after the fence, and that was just unfortunate, so we can forget that. And likewise at Aintree, at a time when I think that front runners were favoured, a meeting where front runners were definitely favoured, he again led all the way, was given all of his own way out in front, never saw another rival. Yes, he won super impressively, but we simply don't know how he will respond if he's taken on for the lead. If the lead is a very busy one, we don't know whether his previous jumping frailties will come to the fore. And you can bet your life, as is always the case in racing, that those possibilities will not be taken on board in his price in the market. It will purely be about how sexy his last time out win
yep.
looked. And so I'm always looking to get horses like that. Not because I don't think they'll win, just simply because I think their chances are overestimated in the market. Likewise with Album Photo, if you look at his career as a whole, you wouldn't have him as the favourite or second, a close second favourite, whichever he is, for a Punchestown Gold Cup. If you look at his Gold Cup performance, you'd have him as a very strong favourite and possibly odds-on favourite
yes.
for this race. But when we went into the Gold Cup, Ruby had the choice, and he chose Bells Hill. It'd be very difficult for Ruby now not to be on Album Photo, which I presume he will be. Oh, sorry, no, Ruby will be on Kenboy. Presumably Paul Townend
yeah.
will remain on Album Photo, and you would imagine that's how they'll work it out, so everyone's happy. But, I mean, it's only a month ago that Ruby was happier being on Bells Hill than both of them.
Yeah.
So, and Bells Hill, you know, it just didn't go for him at Cheltenham. He had a tough time early doors. He was pulled up very early on. It won't always be like that for him. I'd much rather, I mean, he won at Leopardstown in that was the Irish Gold Cup, wasn't it?
Yes.
In a small field, 3 or 4 in a race. Jumped really well that day. Yes, it was a small field. It'll be very different, presumably, in the Punchestown Gold Cup. But it'll be very different for Kenboy, and it'll be very different for Album Photo. And though the fact that it's different is not taken on board in the prices, it is taken on board for Bells Hill, because the most recent memory we have of Bell's Hill was a negative one.
Yeah.
So it's overly taken on board. It's a more interesting race than two short price favourites look, I think.
Okay. The next question surrounds things you're looking for. Other horses you're looking forward to at Punchestown. Now, we're going to touch on Punchestown's racing on Tuesday in due course. So we'll sidestep that question for the time being before we get Andy's thoughts, of course, on the Grade 1s on Tuesday. And to wrap up, of course, the Monday Jury this week, got to look ahead to the weekend as well, because it's the first classics of the season, the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas coming up at Newmarket. The 2,000 guineas field in particular has cut up somewhat. We're without a lot of the key protagonists that we thought would be lining up. Much of a view on either of the guineas, Andy?
Not a strong view. I saw Scardew win the Craven, and I thought he looked interesting. You know, I don't intimately study flat racing anymore, but I have done for many years in the past. I'm very clued up on the framework of the season as a whole and what's required from one race to another, and these patterns keep repeating themselves. It seemed to me that Scardew ran in the manner of a horse that would probably finish in the first three or four in a guineas. So he would be my tentative selection in that. As far as the 1,000 guineas goes, I wouldn't go any further than Cabala as a selection. But she's very short, isn't she? I don't know what she is, 5-2, 3-1 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be getting too involved. I'd probably... If I was having a small bet, I'd probably have a fiver each way on Scardew for the 2,000 guineas. But, you know, no more.
Okay, good stuff. That's the Monday Jury concluded then for another week. Let's get stuck into Tuesday's action now. And we're going to focus on Punchestown, of course. Day one of the Punchestown Festival there. There are three Grade 1s on the card. We'll take a little bit of a look at all three of them. Starting with the 420. This is the Herald Champion Novices Hurdle. Over 2 miles. And for this 4:20 race, we've of course got the Supreme Novices winner in the shape of Classical Dream, who's the 8-11 favourite at time recording. Felix Dishi is in the betting at 6-1. Champagne Platinum is 8-1. Quick Grab Him is 8-1. 10-1 for Aramon. Bigger prices for the rest of them. In fact, there's only one other runner. That's Mr. Blue Sky at 16-1. William Mullins dominates the entries, and Classical Dream is entitled to be favoured after what he did in the Supreme, which was ultra impressive, Andy.
Yeah, definitely. Deserves to be favourite. You can understand why he's favourite, and he had to be so. The first thing I would say is it always makes me nervous when I see one trainer with 4 out of 6 runners and we're not privy to any inside information, and we're also aware of how often a second and third string from the Mullins camp seems to win these races. Mm-hmm. So that makes me nervous in the first instance. I think there's a lot of interesting stories in this race. The first one is that Classical Dream, yes, first of all, won the Supreme, and his time compared very well with the Champion Hurdle race, so I think it's possibly a good Supreme. Previously, Classical Dream and Aramon ran next to each other at the Dublin Racing Festival, nothing between them. Ruby got off Classical Dream and said he couldn't split them. On Tuesday, he would have chosen Aramon after they galloped, and on Thursday, he chose Classical Dream because there was so little between them. And now they're something like 8-11 and 10-1, which is quite interesting. If you go back further to December, I think it was December the 2nd, maybe, when Quick Grab'em beat Aramon in the Royal Bond. Previous to that, Aramon had beaten Quick Grab'em on November the 11th at Fairy House, and... Paul Townend got off Aramon and said he could not believe that he'd beaten Quick Grab'em. He was shocked. Quick Grab'em reversed the form in the Royal Bond later on, and then we've not seen him since. Now, at that point in time, he was clearly nominated as the Mullins number one for the Supreme and all the Ballymore. The betting, the Cheltenham Festival anti-post betting, supported that view. And it didn't really, going into the festival, it didn't really look like Mullins Camp had a superstar. And I don't think they thought they had a superstar. So I think it's all about the weather. The other story is, of course, Vilik Deji and Aramon, who they finished next to each other in the Cheltenham, in the Supreme. And then Felix Deji probably benefited from a pace bias on the second day of the entry festival. I would be very open-minded of which of those two would come out on top tomorrow. One of them's about 5-1, one of them's about 10-1.
Yep.
So I think the price differential is probably a little bit wrong. But it's very interesting that Paul Townend has now chosen to ride Quick Grab'em. if there is a horse to challenge Classical Dream, I think he's the most likely. And at the same time, there's something a little bit hit or miss, hit or bust, should I say, about, you know, if you're going to back Quick Grab 'Em.
Yes.
I think he's the one to back, round about 8-1. Because if you go back 2 months, 3 months, he'd probably have been a short price favourite for this race. Mm-hmm. And he actually clearly, you know, excuse the cliche, but he hasn't done anything wrong since because he hasn't ran.
Yeah.
We're taking it on trust that he's going to be fit. You'd expect him to be fit for this race, given who's training him. And clearly, up until recently, the stable generally thought that Quick Grab 'Em had more ability than any other novices in the yard. So he's a big price. You're taking a chance. I'd have a little pop on him if I was going to have a bet in the race.
8-1 at the time of recording then for a Quick Grab 'Em in that 4.20 race. On to the 5.30 we go now for the Champion Chase. Grade 1 race over 2 miles. Min is the 8.15 favourite for this one. 130 for under so. Great Field is 8-1. Hell's Kitchen 20s. Castle Grace Paddy 25-1. Ordinary World is 50-1. Min obviously ultra impressive at Aintree. They tried something different with him at Cheltenham to try and get Altior beat. Reverted to his usual tactics at Aintree and put in a really, really good performance. And again, similar to the earlier race, it's easy to see why he's favourite. You know, I have no idea how to make a book, but I'd make him favourite for this race. It's an obvious one.
Yeah, you would absolutely make him favourite for the race. And I did a review of the Melling Chase for my website. And I was really strong on the fact that Min is unlikely to be ever as highly rated again as he was after Aintree. He's beaten Politilog by 20 lengths. Thankfully, we have plenty of previous evidence to tell us that he isn't 20 lengths better than Politilog. Mm-hmm. He just happened to be 20 lengths better than him on that day, leading all the way on a track that was offering a very significant pace bias on the front end. Yes, he was super impressive, and I've enjoyed his performance as much as anybody, but the first thing that we need to do when a horse puts in an extraordinary performance that is so far ahead of anything he's previously done, we need to sit back and think, what if? You know, what if that is not quite right? And even if it's not quite right, he still might be a deserving favourite.
Yes,
of course. But he's going to have a very different challenge here. He was allowed to lead all the way at Aintree, dictate the pace. I was very disappointed that Hell's Kitchen didn't have a real go from the front that day, because I think he's a horse who needs to bowl along. He's probably not going to get that chance tomorrow because the horse from the same ownership, Great Field, is presumably going to take them along.
Yeah.
Min is unlikely to get to the front. Great Field will take that roll up, possibly closely followed by Undersaw. The weather is absolutely crucial here. It's meant to be pouring down, I'm told, tonight at Punchestown. We've got Nason later round the corner from Punchestown, so we'll have a good look at that. The more it rains, the more you'd have to give a chance to Undersaw, who won this race last year. Whatever Min is, he's a shorter price than he should be because of that incredibly wonderful scintillating performance last time out.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough to say. As you say, it was arguably just too good to be true.
If he's given those circumstances again and horses allow him to have a front run, then he might well do it again. But, you know, generally speaking, racing doesn't work like that.
Indeed. Over to the 6.40 race then now, which is a novice chase over the 3 mile trip. And Delta Work is 7-4 for this. Aplutard is 2-1. Getter Bird is 5-1. Discorama 14s with Drover's Lane 18s and bigger prices for the rest of them. Plutard, another horse that was very, very impressive, winning by a long way at Cheltenham, takes on Delta Work, who finished third at Cheltenham. And Getter Bird, far from out of this as well. This looks quite a strong renewal of this race.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And it looks an interesting renewal. What I would say is, first of all, Delta Work was as good as the other two horses in the RSA, but probably his jumping wasn't quite as good. He sort of was a bit scruffy and, you know, wasn't as fluent as the other two. Aplutard was particularly exciting in the race that he won, but he's stepping up here. Mm-hmm. He's a short price because of how exciting he looked on the day, but you'd have to remember as well that he was clearly handicapped to win on that day, and that was clearly the plan. I'll have to get it up, but he's running against grade one horses here. But when he won at the Cheltenham Festival, A, he won over half a mile shorter.
Yep.
And B, he was running off a mark of 144. And, you know, the horses that followed him home were off similar marks. The English, certainly the English-trained horses, the Russian Doyen and Springtown Lay, wouldn't be graded horses and nowhere near graded horses. So, you know, he's going to have to do something tomorrow that he hasn't done before. I thought there was a couple of outsiders that were interested. First of all, I do think Delta Work will run very well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not absolutely convinced that Get a Bird will stay. He might well stay, but he's nowhere near proved it. So, mm-hmm. you know, when a horse is... The reason he's 4-1, 92 is obviously the name of the trainer and the jockey.
Yeah.
He's looked very good on occasions, but he's also flopped often. Maybe that's to do with left-handed, right-handed, and he clearly has a bias for going right-handed. I thought that Chris's Dream was massively unfavoured by the way the race was run at Aintree. He was unfavoured by the drying ground, the slow pace. Lost in Translation was massively advantaged that day and looked much better than he is. As good as he is, mm-hmm. he still looked better than he is, a little bit Min-like.
Yes.
And Chris's Dream had no chance the way the race was run because it was a run at a dawdle. He's a stayer. The ground was drying. If it pours down tonight, he's 20-1. I could see him running well. I've got no strong view that he's capable of winning it. But in a race where you have to have doubts about Get a Bird and maybe some doubts about Aplutard, and Delta Work will need to jump better than last time, it's probably worth having a look at one or two. If it pours down, then I'd definitely be interested in Chris's Dream, who I think will outrun his price of, what is he, round about 20 to 1?
20 to 1 indeed.
And if it doesn't rain at all, Drover's Lane is a lot better than his sixth place finish in the RSA.
Okay.
He was right up the backside of the leaders approaching the second last, and on that very soft ground on that day, I just don't think he quite got up the hill. He's a good ground horse. He wouldn't want any rain, so the rain, it's probably going to go against him, so I think we might be looking for the future here. But off 148, he's capable of winning a really nice 2-mile 6, possibly 3-mile race, certainly on good ground, Drover's Lane. But one of those two, depending on how the weather goes, will probably outrun their price.
Okay, good stuff. A couple then at prices for the first day of racing at the Punchestown Festival. Promises to be a really good day of racing. We'll be taking in the entirety of the Punchestown card alongside all the domestic racing as well. We've got Brighton, Chelmsford, Newcastle, Nottingham, Punchestown and Yarmouth on Tuesday. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Andy, thank you for that. Informative as always, and enjoy the festival.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.